Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Ghouls, witches, Wednesdays and demon hunters. If you have children in your life, you'll be getting ready to trick or treat for Halloween at the end of the week. But to make sure you don't encounter any nasty surprises and that you have a safe night, we're joined from our Athlone studio by Dr. Abigail Collins, who's National Clinical Lead for the HSE's Child Health Public Health Programme and also a consultant in public health medicine. Good morning to you.
Morning, Claire.
Thanks very much for joining us. And we are talking about keeping people safe over Christmas, and we want to, or over Halloween rather. We're not quite there yet. Let's start with the fancy dress costumes. Abigail, what should you look out for from a safety perspective?
Yeah, no, we're not quite at the Christmas point yet. Let's do Halloween first.
Yes.
Although going into some of the shops, it gets quite confusing which aisle you're supposed to be looking at. But yeah, definitely Halloween coming up. And I suppose the focus for parents very much on that over the next few days, particularly as many of our children will be off, hopefully enjoying their midterm break. But costumes, really, really important, exciting part for many children to kind of plan what they're going to be wearing, which is a great thing. I suppose there's a few things. Firstly, it is getting colder, so being warm, making sure they got sort of some dark, normal underclothes on, so it won't ruin the effect of what they want to wear. But obviously, if they're going to go out walking around and about early evening time, then they need to be warm. So put some warm clothes on, normal clothes underneath, then look for whatever your costume is going to be. I suppose the two big things to look for are the CE marking, which means that it's been made to all the sort of statutory requirements that the EU has to keep the product safe, and that it has the flame retardant piece, which is particularly important at this kind of time of year where there can be naked flames, although we really encourage people not to use those. So make sure you've got something warm, that your costume has got the CE mark and the flame retardant piece, and actually that it fits, because one of the things going around in the dark on pavements, going up and down people's driveways or pathways, etc., is that you can easily trip over. So great to use hand-me-down things and makey-uppy things, but make sure they're kind of tight and fit. No really long trains on things, or, you know, dresses that are sort of 2 foot long for the young child who wants to wear it, that you kind of thought about that and secured those pieces in advance.
Mm-hmm. So just on the fire aspect of this, and we know that despite warnings about, you know, not having open or candles and so on, you do see them when you're out trick or treating, because they do look lovely and they're very much of the season, but they are so dangerous. And if a costume did catch fire, what should you do, Abigail?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they look so pretty. And I suppose, you know, parents of younger children might be sort of, I suppose, more versed these days in using battery operated tea light candles or regular candles. And we would absolutely encourage those. But I suppose a lot of us, particularly from the bad weather, just following on your term earlier with hurricanes and power cuts, etc., you know, a lot of people have actual candles themselves. But we do say, please try not to use those, and don't use those along the pathways where you might be encouraging children to come up and trick or treat, because it's really easy to get a costume caught in a little flame, and to, you know, for essentially for an outfit to go on fire. So if that does happen, we hope it doesn't. Please do everybody participate for Halloween, but make sure it's safe. So don't have them around. But if it does happen anywhere, then really what you want the child to do is to stop, drop and roll. So that's really to cut off the kind of oxygen supply, so you put out that fire as quickly as possible. And then obviously seek medical help and make sure anything that's burnt is run under cold water for as long as possible while you're ringing the emergency services. So it is, let's try not to have it happen. So, you know, grandparents, people living in nice little estates, encouraging the little children to come round, just don't have any of those naked flames nearby where the children are going to be coming up to the door, etc. But if anything does happen, parents, guardians, whoever, encourage the child to stop, drop and roll, and cover their face with their hands to protect themselves. But mm-hmm. hopefully none of that will happen.
Well, hopefully not, but it is good to know what to do if it did. So stop, drop and roll. You're trying to smother the oxygen, aren't you, as you mentioned, to the flame. So do you wrap or cover the child in a blanket or a towel if you can as well, if stop, drop and roll doesn't work in the first instance?
Yeah, well, the worst thing to do was run, because that's obviously flaring the sort of oxygen. So making sure really the stop, drop and roll. Hopefully, you know, I suppose what we're trying to do is put it out before it starts, if that makes sense. And the first part of that is not having a naked flame. The second part of that is trying to cut off that oxygen. So if you have a woolen blanket or a fire blanket, is obviously the best thing to cover that. That stops the oxygen supply and will put out the flame. You do have to be careful. I believe I'm not a fire safety person per se, but my understanding is that some of the acrylic blankets and things can make things worse. So do just think about that. Don't sort of chuck anything on. But also, I suppose water is the sort of classic one, which would help in such circumstances. And you definitely want, you know, cold water put on anything that is burnt for a long period of time, certainly whilst you're ringing, to get support and advice from the emergency services.
Yeah, but listen, as you said, prevent it from happening in the first place and try and stay away from those naked flames and not have them. Now, on the sweet front, and I did see a child really struggle with a jelly sweet that got stuck at the weekend. So this is front of mind for me. We have to be careful. I mean, there's so many sweets around, but particularly for the younger ones, some of those sweets are just, they're very difficult for them to try and ingest and digest.
Yeah, that's right. And it is such an exciting time. And, you know, you want to be part of that. And people, you know, people who enjoy having the trick-or-treaters in their local area come on and knock on the door, want to be able to give out some treats. So I suppose we do just say, you know, be mindful of what you have. Small, hard, round, or even some small, soft, round or oval-shaped sweets are going to be a hazard for young children, especially those less than five. So, you know, fruit gums, hard chocolates that you see kind of wrapped up looking like pumpkins or whatever it is. Even things like marshmallows, you know, fruit jellies, popcorn, etc. They can all be really actually dangerous for young children under the age of five. So try not to have those, or have them in packages such that parents or guardians of the young children who will, if you've got children less than five, hopefully there will definitely be guardians out with them when they're going out doing their trick-or-treating, can just kind of remove those bags easily for them. But for, you know, a lot of the time it's about trick-or-treaters are about people participating in the community who might not necessarily have children, so not be in the same space of mind of understanding what some of the hazards or the risks are. But really, you know, your bag of, you know, button type things, soft chocolate treats that you see lots and lots of bags of around at this time of year, I suppose are safer things. Peanuts is obviously you know, an obvious one you need to be a little bit careful of, you know, so it's easy enough often to just remove the bars that have peanuts in, or give them to older children who can kind of see and read the label and see that it's a peanut treat and remove it if that's not appropriate for them. It is about, you know, I suppose a good part of it is having some planned vigilance such that parents and young children can actually enjoy it on the evening, which is what you want. Mm-hmm. It's not all a safety hazard. It's an enjoyable family occasion. And I suppose the other half of the message is going out to people who are sort of hosting and participating in this sort of somewhat community event, which is really, really lovely thing to do. But it is about make sure your treats are as safe as possible. So soft, larger treats are going to be sort of safe for everyone, and parents can, filter out anything they think is harmful for their children. Don't have those flames coming up your pathway or anything. Just keep them indoors in the windows or somewhere safe so children can see it but not be at risk from it. And I suppose the other core piece from sort of the broader community's perspective is obviously road safety. It's on a Friday evening this week. We've had the bank holiday weekend on Monday, so we've got a few days to pass. So if you don't have young children, you might not be in the Halloween space thinking, and you're rushing home on a Friday evening to get home for whatever reason, but it is dark. So please do slow down. Please do make sure any sort of residential areas or country roads between houses, that you're just mindful that there could be children out in that sort of early evening time looking for some fun and excitement.
Yeah,
and
that's a good reminder. And then just on the sweet front, I mean, they get so much sweets. I mean, we all see it now on Halloween. And the trick is to try and siphon off some of those sweets in the days afterwards. Well, that's what I do. I let them have whatever they want on Halloween, but then I steal it. And I'm not going to admit to eating it myself, but that sometimes happens too.
Yeah. Well, I think we're all human and we've all done a bit of that as parents as well. You know, we know we have to be mindful for children. It is a fun evening. You know, it's the kind of evening where you want to be mindful. You don't want children going to bed sick or sore tummies. So you want them to let them have their treats. But after that, all right, you would hope to taper away some of those sweets. So the first thing is, you know, filter through, you know, the age and stage of your child. Remove anything that you think is sort of a hazard. hazard for them. And, you know, some of them, some of the treats you look at yourself and you think, you know, that looks sort of, you know, interesting, sort of very unnatural. And, you know, parents may wish to kind of appraise that themselves in terms of what they wish to do. Other treats can just go into the, you know, the treat bucket or whatever it is for when they're having treats later on, so that it can last sort of throughout, I suppose, the run up to Christmas, that, you know, whenever you have a treat, instead of having to go out and buy one, you know, you've got some in reserve, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But I agree, you don't want too much at a time. And as I say, you know, there is a couple of things to think about, the kind of pharmacy for, I suppose, and making sure that you've got a good toothbrush with, often we forget to look, we change the heads of our own toothbrushes as adults, but you often forget to look at, does the child's one need changing? Have a little look at it and make sure you clean the teeth on that Halloween evening. And there, going forward on a daily basis, we do want to keep those teeth clean and keep those dental woes away from us. So clean the teeth, pop to your pharmacy if need to for that, and also ask them about vitamin D. We totally recommend that children have vitamin D from Halloween to St. Patrick's, so it's sort of bookended by two nice events, but have the vitamin D for your children.
Okay, now is the time to kick that off as well in the house. Abigail, thank you so much for being with us. That's Dr. Abigail Collins from the HSC.